Welcome to the iPlayers podcast, the place where we build and interview leaders in their field so that you can hone your skills and be at the top of your game, allowing you to make the most out of any situation and reach higher levels of success, whether that be in business, in life, or anything that you want to be more successful for and be a high top A player. I'm your host, Lewis Hayden, coach to very high income earners, and I'm on a mission to give everyone the opportunity to step into wealth by giving you the skills, tools, and actionable steps to go that next level. So today we're talking real talk, and we're talking to a business specialist today. It's going to be Georgia Gorey. She's coming on to speak about specifically around family businesses because she runs a successful family business too, actually. So there's plenty of learnings to take from this, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an employee, or whether you are going out there just making it happen and increasing your income in different vehicles. So before we jump in with Georgia, just a quick reminder that the iPlayers podcast and community remains free. It's free because it's my mission to give back and share with you, the listener, knowledge gained from working with highly successful individuals and the extensive research from management science. So in line with this, there is a fee to pay. The podcast is free, but there is a fee. And that fee is to help us achieve that mission by just clicking follow or subscribe on the podcast and share it with somebody else as well. If they need gold nuggets in this, then just copy the podcast, copy the link, slide it into someone else's DMs. And remember, for all those that are really serious about increasing their income and want to break that 100K, £100,000 a month, or if you're in Australia or America, where pounds versus the dollar is a lot different, 200K a year, not a month, sorry, a year, then there's a membership offer as well. It's the same price as Netflix. It's next to nothing. Just click on the little padlock and you'll get access to that. So let's jump into the podcast then. Georgia, how are you doing, mate? How are you going?
I'm good, thank you, Lewis. How is everyone? Hope they're all well.
Yeah, we're all fantastic. So two podcasts today. We had Scott Wood on earlier on. We've got Georgia on now. Georgia, we're talking business in yours. Scott wasn't about business. It was talking about executives. It was talking about side hustles. It was talking about even men's health and men's wellness as well. Now, we're going to speak with your podcast is specifically around what it's like to be in a business with other successful people, and not just other successful people, successful family members as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of businesses out there that start off as small family businesses. So they must start to have these challenges. And I'll put my hands up as well, mate, because I've got a family business. I've got three younger brothers that work there. My dad is just starting to come out of the business now because it starts to work without him. So you're on the same journey. So I think we're going to have a bit of real talk today, mate. And we're going to really get into the nitty gritty of how we can help more people.
No, I'm looking forward to it because I know that we're very similar in our stories as when we've come on as coaches. And I know that this is going to be a really cool subject to talk about. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good.
Yeah. So this is really good. So before we start, by the way, the other venture that I have with business coaching. Yeah. So we've got the iPlayers podcast and we've got everybody knows as well. I'm a business coach as well, an executive coach. George is actually my boss. Yeah. Is it okay to say that, Georgia? You're the operations director.
I am the operations director, yeah. But I also don't like being called the boss.
I like calling you boss. You are the boss. So, Georgia, you are the operations director for Action Coach Essex Central.
I am.
Which is one of the UK's highest, most successful business coaching franchise firms in the country. And in the world as well, you know, we are in the top 15, top 20 in the world of business coaching firms?
Yeah, we are. We're in top 15 globally, which is really cool because I know we all work our socks off for it. And in the UK, we're in top 5. And it's great to see that we've been there for a very long time. So hoping we'll be one very soon.
Yeah, so I'm one of the, how many coaches, Georgia? Five?
Five, yeah, nearly six, but there's five at the moment.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So you've got to get a good insight today, listeners, around business coaching as well and around the family business stuff. So, Georgia, it's good to it's really good to have you on this podcast because you've got the business coaching knowledge and you've been around Mark, your dad. You're kind of like born into business coaching. It's like, you're like Batman, aren't you? You're born into the world of business coaching. Tell me about that journey and what it's like to have had your dad as one of the, you know, world's top business coaches.
It's been interesting, to say the least.
Go on, tell me more about that.
So a little bit about me. So I started my business coaching journey as basically my dad, Mark Eccles, he wanted to become a coach and he needed someone to just support him along the way as like a PA. So I dropped everything to support him and I actually just fell in love with what we do. I was around Action Coach for a while before I started because Mark was a client and he had his own coach. So I kind of went to quite a lot of the workshops and bits like that. So from the age of 16, I'd say Action Coach was in my life. I'm now just turned 30. Won't go into detail too much, but yeah, so I just turned 30. So I've been around nearly 15 plus years and wouldn't change it for the world, really. There's a lot, Dad and I have gone through a hell of a lot on a roller coaster, and not just us, I think quite a lot of family businesses go through it as well, from communication to round the dining room table talking about work and actually going, no, actually, this is personal time. Let's not go into detail there. Let's bring it up at like 8 o'clock the next day. And also not bringing like personal stuff into the office. And I just feel like that's key, especially to kind of go into detail with you guys today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just made a note of that. So that's something certainly we need to circle back on, because that business versus personal time is something that I know a lot of go-getters, whether that be on the entrepreneur ladder is what we refer to it in business coaching, you know, climbing that ladder of business owner, investor, entrepreneur. But for the real A players as well that sit on the operational side, you know, the employees, they find it really hard to switch off as well. And taking it home to the dinner table, taking it home to their family and their kids, you know, when they have to take this stuff home, it is a hard thing for people to manage. I'll hold my hand up there. You know, I get so passionate around doing this sort of stuff with all the different businesses that it's like, man, I love it too much, you know. And then what happens is that without that right balance, we are talking around at the dinner table and it's okay once or twice, but not every fucking week and every month. It's not healthy.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it's the case of like not only family businesses, but like you're saying, Lewis, like sometimes business can be a lonely place and a lot of people just want to talk about their passion, which is obviously what they're doing day to day, and bringing it to the table sometimes you're a bit like, oh, come on, let's talk about something else. Yeah. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
You mentioned just as we were talking around business coaching and action coaching and running the business, you mm-hmm. said people get really passionate about what we do. What is it that we do? What do you mean by what we do? What do we do out there in terms of, you know, making an impact on people's lives?
Oh, what, as in Action Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously with Action Coach, the one quote that I just tend to stick to is because being in business should give you more life. You know, Lou. So when it comes to our clients, I just want to make sure that with our clients, whatever journey they're on, we're making sure we get them to that place where they feel that they've succeeded. Whether their KPI is around making sure that they get home and making sure that they're there for bath time and reading time with their kids, right down to, I want to increase my profit to be like in the top 10 of a specific industry. It's being that person to go to and making sure on the roller coaster ride that they're on, you're there within those dips and making sure that they get back on track, whether that's following certain plans, being that person that's on the fence and kind of prodding them in the right way and hold them to account. It depends on the client, but we're just there to support them. And like I said, business can be a lonely place and it's just building that community around them.
It really can. It really can. Yeah. There's a few elements there. Community, because Yeah, oh, no, this is something that you're really big on as well. That's another one I'm about to write down there. And also the roller coaster of owning a business, because I think a lot of our, how many clients do Action Coach Essex have now, Essex Central?
That's a question. Right, at the top of my head, roughly, I want to say there's 55 companies.
55 companies. That's not how many people, because sometimes there's like 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people involved in each one of those companies.
We've got a few partners in each company. So I'd say overall, our community within Essex, as well as the ones that have just come to events and not one-to-one, we probably have about 200 people that are definitely confirmed within our community, and we're still growing.
Yeah, and you mentioned about it being a lonely world. So that roller coaster that people are going through, ups and downs in business. We're human with it, right? People start to think that as business owners and managers and employees that we're bulletproof to everything. Yeah. So to have a community is something that you do really well, George. And I am going to say you do really well, because I want you to, you should own this and get the credit for this, because if it wasn't for you being the operations director there, that community wouldn't be who they are today. You know, we've got the WhatsApp, you've got Action members that people can be a part of. So it doesn't matter what level of the journey people are at, whether at the stage that they need a one-to-one coach, a group coach, or Action members, there's something there for the community to give them and deliver. And I think that comes down to, one, you being a great person that understands the power of the community and understanding that why. But when you're on that roller coaster, it's always great to remember why you do this. And the Action Coach vision is world abundance for a business re-education.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel like shit. Sometimes we feel great. Everybody's only human. But remembering that we are on a journey here for world abundance for business re-education just keeps it plowing through, right? We're here to change lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think like going back to the community part, one thing that I've always been, well, you know how I work, Lewis. The one thing that I've always pushed to make sure that Action Coach Essex has got, that is kind of like our USP out of all the other Action Coaches, is making sure that everyone's able to get hold of one of us at least, what any part of the, like 24 hours, making sure that they're all right, just in case there's an emergency. Mm. Obviously, coming back to work-life balance, we've got that, but I think within our industry, we want to make sure that we're there and we're the supporting act. So whether it's just one of us being like on call, as it were, when it comes to tradie talk, it's just being there for that person, and they'll remember that. And then that's how they turn into our raving fans.
And this is what Action Coach Essex do really well. I mean, there's lots of fantastic Action Coaches across the country. One thing that we do really well, you do really well, because you've built this culture around this, is I always remember this. I'll tell a little story around it. We went to the Growth Club, which is once every quarter. We get all the members and all the clients into a room. Absolutely buzzing, isn't it, Georgia? It's fantastic. Oh, great energy in there. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's done so fantastic. And I came along, and I've been to a lot of Action Coach Growth Clubs in Australia, in the UK. And what we do is put a little lanyard around people's necks. Got their names on, just so everyone can remember that most important, sweetest thing from the Dale Carnegie book, right? Which is their name.
Yeah.
It's all around the neck. And I went, Georgia, just tip the bucket upside down, mate. And then people can just, you know, rummage through and they'll find their name. It's all good. No, Lewis, it's got to be in alphabetical order. And I went, Georgia, come on. You know, we haven't got time to put stuff in alphabetical order. People are walking through the room. There's people walking through the door right now. Lewis, critical non-essentials.
Oh, it's key. It's key. It's something so small. And I know it drives you all with coaches around the bin when I come down to like the small little details. I know it drives you all around the bin. But it's those little things that everyone remembers. Like coming through the bit, like when they come through the door and knowing their names without actually trying to find their lanyards. And like, I know that there's a few newbies that have come along before being part of our community. And because I've remembered the conversations we've had and making sure that that's on, like, in the back of my head along the way, just making sure you go up to them, having a 5-minute conversation with them before all the run around and the operational side with the backside of the event stuff, and just having that time to just go, right, would you like a tea or coffee? Or, oh, by the way, if you need anything after the event, you know where I am if you can't get hold of any of the coaches. And those things are the one thing that they will always remember and come back to. It's just the little details, and it's definitely critical non-essentials, which we all love, especially me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a great event. I mean, you're allowing the coaches to flourish, get up there. We present, I present, the other coaches present as well, all with different, you know, different backgrounds and different skills. But it's all kept into like this nice way of packaging it to the clients to make sure it's delivered in a great way, you know, delivery mastery, which is part of our 6 steps as well, delivery mastery. And this is where the role of operations director, you absolutely master, Georgia. So let's talk about the real talk then, right? There's people out there, yeah, oh God, you look at me right now, yeah?
But I don't know where this is going.
This is where the podcast really sets itself aside from any other business or entrepreneur or management, whatever you want to call it. I don't really know what this classifies as. I just see it as something that's helping people move forward and along with my why, you know. So the real talk around this is that you've had to grow this with your dad being the, you know, one of the top coaches in the world. What's that been like to, you mentioned about taking the talk away from the business, but how, there's lots of other people out there right now that are going through the same sort of challenges that you've been through, right? Now you've got an advantage because you've been around the whole model of mindset and coaching and that self-development stuff. A lot of people haven't. They're on that treadmill of doing the same thing over and over and over again and just thinking this is normal, and it gets to a point that they could turn around and go, look, I don't want to risk family relationships anymore. Somebody leaves. And it's such a shame because the amount of potential that's there for a family business can be extreme. I mean, you mentioned some great global successful family businesses earlier on.
Yeah, like I think that's the one thing that quite a lot of people forget. Like I did a bit of research, and Lewis, you know me, when it comes to information, I tend to be the person that supports everyone else. So trying to figure out all this information for this podcast, yeah. But I found it really interesting. So I've worked out that there was a bit of research being done through Google, and we've worked out that there's 4.8 million family-owned businesses within the UK. Wow. Whether they're small to large, it comes back down to who's actually involved with it. And that's one thing that people tend to forget. When it comes to focusing on the famous side of things, globally, Walmart, like everyone know, they're a family-run business and they've done really well. The Walmart family, they've gone into it thinking like it was just an idea, and now they're on billions. Like their profile is crazy. You've also got like the Cadbury family in the UK before going into partnership. They've obviously, throughout the whole years of investment and figuring out what the idea of Cadbury is to what it is now, like, it's mad. There's so many examples. You've got Aldi with the two brothers, Aldi Supermarket. Everyone tends to go there now, outside of, obviously, you've got other brands as well. But people do tend to forget about those things. I do find it really interesting. And going back to your question on how do I find it working with family? Yes, it's a roller coaster. It's highly emotional at times, but it's getting that environment right. And both of you having, well, I say both of us, in my instance, I just work alongside my dad, but finding the boundaries that's right and respecting those boundaries between each other, as well as knowing you've got a team to support you that are there on a daily basis and making sure that they're comfortable too.
So what about team dynamics then? Do you ever have any, and I'm wearing this with the hat of what goes on in my, one of my businesses is a family business. Yeah. So my dad started it. We started it in the back of a garage in our old house with my granddad, who's unfortunately not seen what it's made today. If he would, have been very, very proud of what we've created out of this once upon a time, just, you know, a workbench in the back of a garage, to now a huge approaching £10 million business and property all over the shop and factories and, you know, employing 50 odd people, all from this little dream. And the amount of things that could have happened because of family. My parents got divorced. There were, my granddad passed away and it wasn't his baby anymore. It had to be delivered to somebody else. He wanted the four brothers to always have it, that vision. Four brothers all with different vision and different energy, different ways of driving forward. The dynamics as well of bringing other people into the business that aren't family members. And they're like, hold on a minute. Me and my old man would be literally having it out, like almost fisticuffs sometimes with some of the issues in the business. And the other managers are going, whether they're thinking this is interesting, I'm going to get my popcorn and watch this, or fuck this, I don't want to be a part of this business with these pair going at it all the time. This stuff is the real talk, right? This is the stuff that happens. You know, I mean, is there anything that you can, not to give away all the secrets and onto the podcast, but how do you overcome that sort of stuff?
Well, bearing in mind, so when it was just Mark and I, and we were just starting up this whole firm, that was back in 2015, 2016. It was just an idea, like you say. And it did start around the dining room table. And it got to the point where, and this is real talk, and I know my dad wouldn't mind me sharing this.
Oh, he's as real as the bloody come, mate, as well.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great
We are very open and honest as a family. it did start around the dining room table. And when it comes to the emotional side, it does get other people involved when it comes to the family, especially within that environment. And it got to the point where we'd start a conversation and it would be going right. And it might be something about his diary and making sure that there were certain clients being seen that day. And because something was said in a different dynamic and, say, for instance, Mark didn't understand it, he'd think that I'm like turning it around on him, and he'd be like, well, why are you having a go at me for? And then my mum will start getting involved, because obviously from a parent point of view, looking after their daughter in their dining room like setting, they're thinking, hang on a minute, what's going on here? You're supposed to be working as daddy daughter, and now you're having a go at each other around the dining room table. So it goes down to obviously your environment, figuring that out. We had a coach for God knows how long, obviously Kent Rhodes. I know Mark's been speaking about it on here many times. And he was brilliant. The amount of stuff that he had to put up with when it comes to me and him, between Mark and I, would turn up and sometimes I'd go, right, what do you feel like expressing, the old whiffle as we do before we get into things with coaching? And sometimes Kent wouldn't even be able to say anything, and he'll just sit there at the back of his chair going, right, you're finished now. You're both on at each other. Like, are we going to get anything done? Because you're wasting your time and you're paying me as well for just doing this. What's going on?
Yeah, but so, sometimes as well, the coach, you know, dare he say, that is a conversation that needs to happen.
Oh, definitely.
Because if it wasn't for the coach creating that space for you to have that conversation and facilitating it, all right, for Kent, I know he's no longer around, unfortunately, he would have probably been thinking, this is actually the best value they could ever get. Doesn't mean the coach needs to be talking. They just, a great coach asks great questions, right? They probe the situation for the discovery to happen from within. That's what coaching is, not consulting, it's coaching. Big difference. Now, what's actually happening there is you two of you are actually Ken's just holding the mirror up, right? And he's going, here you go, deal with that. So, I mean, so what happened? What happened? Did you end up fighting or what? Or did you end up, was it positive at the end or negative? How did you feel?
We always all count very positive. Yes, we were kicking and screaming at one point, but it's the case of going through that whole scenario, talking it through with Kent at that time. And like what you say, he's kind of being like the referee, as it were, to kind of go over what happened and how we're going to make it better. And if it wasn't for him, as well as our other coach that we have now, John, it would be in a very different place. There's lots of exercises that we had to do, and there's some things that I still have to do now. For instance, which quite a lot of people around me in the community as clients or coaches will kind of laugh sometimes, but I have to call my dad Mark in the environment when I'm working. And that's just because I have to make sure with my headspace, I'm talking to a partner of the business instead of my dad. And if I do also say Mark, he knows that I need a response from not a dad point of view, but from a partner too. And it's keeping it literally as separate as that. And sometimes it sounds silly, but it does work. It really does work.
I'd actually wrote that down as Mark versus dad, because you had been saying Mark and you actually, you know, it's your dad. So is that something you'd recommend for our listeners to start doing as well that are in family businesses?
I really do. The reason why I say Mark on this podcast is because obviously what I've just been saying, when I'm in working hours and I'm working, Georgia, I have to say Mark for my own benefit, for my identity, as it were. It's how am I going to be pushing myself to the next level as Georgia, part of Action Coach Essex, and not Georgia, Mark's daughter. And I've had that personally. Mark, dad, wouldn't really like it. But I've had the conversations where we'd go to conferences globally or within the UK. And because he is an award-winning business coach, as you know, Lewis, and as much as I'm proud of him, it's always been, oh, you're Mark's daughter, Georgia. And now it's the case of stepping away and focusing on my own identity. And that's something that my coach, as well as you and the other coaches, have really supported me on. So it's focusing on the language that you're holding yourself to when speaking it out to other people.
So identity is real key, because it doesn't just come up in the family dynamic. It comes up in dynamics of all sorts of business relationships. So, for example, what the element is, what I'm trying to get at here, is that you will always be, in your dad's eyes, the daughter.
Yeah.
So whether it's at work and you call him Mark or you call him dad, he will always just think daughter, right? It's impossible, right? Because he's been there, he's changed nappies, he's been there and seen you grow up until. Yeah, exactly. It's natural. One element we had before in my business is that a previous professional had always dealt with my dad. And my dad had been in the business for 20 years, and technically now he doesn't have to show up. He hasn't had to show up for the last 10 years, you know, but if he wanted to carry on growing it, it's his baby. Mm-hmm. And he wants to come to the business. He comes in 1 or 2 days a week now, because that's what he would do. You know, he's just gone 60, and he could have retired 5 years ago if he wants, but he'll never retire, because what do you do when you've got all the free time? Still come in and do the thing that you love. So he comes and sees his baby. But what's happening is that a lot of professionals that we used to work with, like professional services, would say, Lewis, you know, is your dad around? And I'm like, no, he's not in the business anymore, and neither have I all the time. And it's like, oh, well, you know, when me and your dad used to do this, used to do that, I was always just the son in the business.
Yeah.
So the person that has now grown with my dad in their generation now always just sees me as the son. Do you know what I mean? And this is very similar with Brad Sugars also tell the story. So Brad Sugars is the CEO of Action Coach.
Yeah.
And he tells a story of his dad was speaking to somebody and says, oh, you need to speak to our Brad about growing businesses. Oh, is that your son? There, he remembers Brad being 5 years old and running around, probably causing terror or whatever he was. Now, that person would not speak to Brad because he just saw it as the little boy.
Yeah.
Now, Brad is one of the world's top business coaches. But because of someone's perception around, oh, that's just your son or that's just your daughter, one, it damages that relationship. And two, what does it do for you when you're...
Your identity, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's focusing on that identity, and it goes back to the language that you give out, but also teaching others around you what that language is. And don't get me wrong, like the example that you just gave, I've had that near enough all my life, well, ever since I've been in Action Coach. I got it this morning, and it wasn't even meant like that. It's the case of one of the coaches rang me because they couldn't get hold of my dad. And going, oh, Georgia, would you be able to fit in Mark's diary like a 30-minute conversation? And I've now started focusing on, well, actually, Mark's in charge of his own diary now, so you'll need to speak to him separately. Because it does, in the nicest of ways, it's you building your own portfolio up and being the person that you are and kind of not feeling so emotionally attached to those conversations that you have. And it did used to kill me. It did used to hit me a hell of a lot. I remember talking to you before, obviously, us joining as a team, and I was just like, how did you overcome it? Because I'm struggling at this point. But yeah, I feel like I've grown massively through it, and I feel like now I want to kind of give back to everyone and show them my understanding and how it can help them. I've got loads of clients. We've got a dynamic at the moment. They've been around us for quite a while now, and they're brother and sister. The amount of times where they've come into the office and just gone, I need this time to just kind of have it out with you because we can't do it in the office. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Like, let's just have a breather then. Let's sort it all out. What's going on? And then there'll be other times where they'll use this time just to literally kind of go, I haven't seen you all week. We need to get this done. Let's go over the plan because I don't fancy doing it Sunday round the dinner table, having a roast with the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would just want to start giving back now with the information that I've learned, and this is a great way to show it.
Absolutely. And there's so many people out there that really need to hear this. So if we think about it from even more real, don't worry, I'm not going to put you under any pressure, but this is the reality. This is the reality of life, right? There's three ways that people can exit a business.
Yeah.
You've heard of these. You either, one, die and not pass it on. The business dies with you.
Love how you start with a negative, Lewis.
Always start with a negative. Do you know what, though? I heard this the other day from one of my friends. He's a big consultant in a health company in America. He said, you British are really good at the bad news sandwich.
Yeah,
the bad news sandwich. Hey, how you going? You're doing a great job. This is really shit, but don't worry. That's the bad news sandwich, right? So I've switched it around now. Start with the negative and then give the good news twice. Three pieces of bread at the end instead. So yeah, you either die, you sell it, or you pass it on.
Definitely. Mm.
So if you pass it on, family businesses, most likely you're going to pass it on. Now, I know people that are in like the third or fourth generation of the business. The culture started and the business started with how great that person was and their culture. If that person doesn't learn leverage and the right systems of how to protect that culture, protect the people within that business that are moving forward, the generations that will take over will slowly, slowly, slowly lose that culture.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that you really got well here is one thing that could get in the way of that is that parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. You see? So it's real key that this stuff is done right. Because the bad news is if you don't, your business will die with you.
Exactly. And I think using my dad's story as a bit of an example. So I don't know if the guys on here that are listening have seen the last podcast that you've done with Mark where he goes into his story, but just a bit of a brief one to kind of elaborate onto what you're talking about, Lewis. Mark was actually part of a family business before Action Coach where my grandparents actually had it was called Endwell at the time, an electrical company. And he was literally, he wasn't actually interested in electrics, but my granny was just like, look, I really want to leave a legacy of the family. I really want you to be part of it. And that was when obviously the heartstrings came before what he actually wanted to do in life. So my dad became an apprentice of Endwell. And then from then on, it got to the point where my grandparents got into a bit of a situation where it was going to go into bankruptcy. So my dad decided to change it all around, turn the company over into EliteNet Electrical. And he was then managing director where my grandparents turned from owners to employees. Mm-hmm. So obviously you had that whole mindset shift of his parents now working for their son, and the son managing and directing his mum and dad. Now that must have been huge. And then down the line, talking about the systems and the leverage, Mark now is obviously a coach for him to do that, he had to put the right systems in and speak to the specific people within the team that he trusted at the time to build what it needed to become for him to walk away from that. ElitNet now is still running, and you've got my mum that's part of it, that's literally part-time. She really wants to literally just come down to 1 hour a week where it's just focusing on a finance meeting and coming away from it. But as you say, their baby, she's never going to do that. But you've also got my other half that's part of it as well, my husband.
Yes.
And they've got a great team there now. And to build that know, like, and trust, and for Mark to now just be a coach and just does a 1 hour session with them every week, it's huge. So to kind of get the understanding of what you was explaining with getting the right systems in place, having the right people there to support you, and becoming that GM where you can then take over and give it to someone else to focus on, to do what you really want to do, whether that's retire, start going on holidays, or focus on something else as a different project, just make sure you've got that stuff in play to let you do what you want to do in life.
And that's a real key thing that you brought up there as well, is a lot of family members may start to either feel obliged or resent the fact that they've got to take over the family business, and it might not be the thing that they want to do.
Yeah.
They don't need to feel bad about it, but something that I really, really push for is perhaps it's a reframing problem, because sometimes I feel like, oh no, I've got to go and work in that business. So my family business, you know, it's been about 15 years. I met Anna. Anna wanted to go and live in Australia.
Yeah.
What do I do about the family business? I always felt like I can't leave the UK because I'm in a family business. Now, the reframing problem, Georgia, was that not that Australia is the problem. It was my thinking around what does this business actually need to for it to continue to grow.
Yeah.
Does it need me to be arse on seat, sitting here because my dad thinks that's what his dad did and their dad did? They got to actually be here in the business. Or could I add more value by doing it anywhere in the world and still helping the business grow? So that was a big shift in my mind, is that you can still achieve the goals that you want to do. The business doesn't define you. You define the business.
Yeah,
and that goes for any generation.
Yeah, 100%. And this is so strange because I think our stories are really similar. I've always wanted to move to New Zealand. So one thing in my head, and I think because we are a franchise with Action Coach, I think it was last year, and it did stem from an emotional place where obviously Mark and I, Dad and I keep saying Mark now, but Dad and I went through a stage of we need to grow in a specific way. And because I'm always in the office full time, I tend to be the office manager as well. And I just wanted to kind of focus on what my work balance was like, because it got to a place where I was also working from home because there's just so much to do. So I started thinking about, well, what do I actually want in life? Because I was also going into an alignment phase as well. And I said to Yuri, my other half, what would it look like if we did move away? What would that look like? Like, obviously, I've got the systems in play. The team are all right because we're all quite flexible. I just need my laptop. I could work anywhere as long as I've got my laptop. And it's just focusing on those key areas, like you're saying, the six steps and those certain key phases that we get our clients to focus on to let us do what we want to do. Now, I can literally pick my laptop up and go anywhere around the world now because I'm fortunate to have that stuff in play. But from a personal point of view, I love being around people and supporting everyone, like being at the events, like you're saying, with the small CNE stuff and seeing how they're all getting on, but also supporting my dad when it comes to the rough conversations we've got to have and trying to support the next steps, because I feel like I'm then there physically. I totally get it. It is a strange one.
I mean, I always felt like this is the family business, and if it wasn't for the oldest brother taking it on, then the family business is going to die.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And I think, like, I've got a sister. My sister's younger than me. There's two of us. And I just felt like, knowing that I was in and out of the ElitNet stuff, being their marketeer when I was younger, as I literally just left school, I then started doing a bit of hospitality in between, which I think the love of looking after people came from that element. So knowing that I was in hospitality and quite a creative person as well, I wanted to just do that. But we also had the conversation one time around the dinner table or whilst we were watching telly at night, all four of us before I moved out. And my dad just said, girls, out of interest, would you ever go into the family business, whether it's EliteNet or Action Coach? Well, my sister's response was completely different to mine. Obviously, with like the whole, oh yeah, I'm the eldest daughter, you kind of go into that mode of, oh, dad, don't worry, you've built this legacy, I'm going to live it for you, without actually thinking about what I want in life. But also my sister turned around and went, hell no, I'm not doing that. Right. And I was like, out of interest, why? And she went, are you having a laugh? I'd rather just like stick pins in my eyes. I don't want to speak to all of you every day. I see you all every night. I don't want more time with you, which I totally get. But it's weird how everyone thinks differently.
Well, it is. I mean, I've got two young girls now. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but I'm sure it'll come around one day. But what goes through my mind of part of my why and my vision and my mission is that I would like to leave a legacy for the kids. You know, and it's quite interesting that people go, oh, you know, the kids need to learn the tough lessons and the need to do it themselves, and I'm always going to set them up. I'm going to just call bullshit on a lot of this, and not to say that I'm right and they're wrong, right? This is just my beliefs on it. But people always want the best for their children, right? They always want the best for their children, but yet they want to give them the real tough lessons. But what if they was to think of it a different way, that you was just an accelerator for your kids? So why do they need to go and learn all the shit that you learned when they could have an acceleration in life to move them ahead of the game? Because you want them to be successful. You don't want them to redo what you've done. You want them to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So it really questions, like, why do people think that way? You know, that they've got to give the kids the lessons as well. When one thing I've really learned, Georgia, in not just being and, you know, owning these businesses and also being, you know, coaching other businesses as well, is that life is moment to moment, and those moments contain opportunities. If the opportunity isn't one, spotted, second, embraced, then you're just on the treadmill over and over again.
Yeah.
How much is it a great opportunity to have a family business that's there? But unfortunately, this little mindset could be, I don't want to work in the business. But it doesn't mean that you have to replicate your dad or your mom. It means that you can do it your own way and make this baby the way that you want to take it in the future. Because ultimately, like you said from the start, the business is a vehicle for your life. And it means your life, not your dad's life.
Sorry, Lewis. I was just going to say,
it's good to take your take. I mean, I feel like lots of people out there need to understand that, because their sons and daughters are probably going, I don't want to live the same thing that my dad and my granddad did.
Yeah.
It's not the case.
I totally agree. And I think, so from my personal place with this, I obviously, myself and my sister saw it very differently. And that is okay. Yeah. Like I saw it as a place of, for my dad to actually come to me and go, girls, I want to leave a legacy, but I trust you in doing that. That's how it come across to me. I'm like, oh my God, I will do that, because I want to make sure that my mum and dad are proud of me. I know they're proud of me, but for me to know that they've left it to me, as it were, as well as my sister in a certain way, it's making sure that you're doing the stuff that they'd love to do throughout the years until I can pass it on, you know? Yeah. And for myself, like working alongside you, Lewis, you'll notice that I've had to make certain decisions where my dad hasn't agreed with what I've done. And I think where it comes down to generation and like marketing, for example, there's so many different marketing strategies now that are real and that are flying through the roof, like, obviously podcasts, to try and get my dad to understand that, because he's a bit of a digital dinosaur and he is growing, bless him, me getting there. Sorry, dad, if you're listening. But it's having that second generation to kind of go, Mark, we've obviously spoken about this before. This is how you used to do it. But for us to grow and make it into what it needs to be now, please just understand and listen to me. So my best interest is also yours. We want to get it in the right way. It's interesting.
It's really good. I mean, everything that you're saying I resonate with, but to be controversial on this podcast, as we do, because we are, the only thing that I don't fully agree with you is the way that you call your dad Mark. And that's not because I'm disagreeing with you, by the way. This is a debate. Should you? And listeners, or if you're watching on YouTube, comment in the comments below. Smash a like button. Put a heart button for Georgia. Put a like button for me. Should you call your family members in the business dad and mom, or granddad and grandmother? Because for me, my dad is my dad and always will be. Yeah. And I like it. I think the customers as well. You know, if I go into a meeting, I was in a meeting, I got one after this, you know, it could be £500,000 business deal that we go and speak in. I will always call him dad.
Yeah.
Are you saying that it's Mark? And I get it from what you're saying as well, is that it separates the business to the dinner table. So maybe that's right as well. There's a good debate here.
I totally get it. And I don't think there's any right or wrong. And I think it's just personal kind of, it's a personal opinion, isn't it? Like sometimes Salma, who works with me in the ops department, she sees me sometimes and I call him dad and I go, oh no, I mean Mark. And she goes, well, Georgia, I still know who you mean. And I'm like, yeah, but I just feel like I need to kind of say Mark because it's a bit weird for me. But like, I suppose my dad would always go, George, what are you doing? And it's not like, oh, daughter.
Daughter? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's I think it's like a personal preference, really. And I've just, to support how I've been feeling and stuff that I've been working on with my coach, he's just gone, just trial it out and see how you get on. And it's kind of worked. Some of the clients look at me and go, you're being completely weird. Just call him dad, for goodness sake. And I'm like, okay.
No, I think people like it as well. They do like that family business. And again, use it to your strength. Use it as an opportunity here that people are, they do like family businesses. They like to work with family businesses. At least they know they're getting what they're getting, you know. So there's plenty of opportunities here that family businesses could really harness as well. So what would be the if you was to be talking to, I'm going to say, another dad and daughter relationship, because that's what you're with now. It could be any of the dynamic, you know. It doesn't matter. What would be some of the list, if anybody of the listeners was listening now, what would be some of the biggest tips that you could give to them of how they really flourish in a family business?
The one thing that comes to mind is communication is key. And respecting each other's boundaries. What I mean by communication is key is one of the coaches in the UK actually used this as a bit of an example, and it's always stuck in the back of my head. And I think that's why I'm so strong about it. He always used the example of, well, as you're talking, you could be talking in a foreign language, but it doesn't mean that that person that you're delivering it to is also talking in the same language. So ideally, you as Georgia and the daughter could be talking in Chinese and your dad's actually talking in Japanese, and you just keep bouncing off of each other because you're not getting anywhere. It's identifying what he means as well as what I mean and coming to that balance in the middle and going to the next step. And obviously when it comes to raising of the voices and things like that, identifying who's around you and what the environment is around you. Because you've built a culture in your firm. If you know that there's going to be a heated conversation, have it outside, because you've got to make sure that everyone's comfortable around you.
And so protect the culture. Yeah, it's not dinner table. It's not home.
Protect your culture, because it's the one thing that you're aiming to build, because it will help you succeed in life. But also make sure that communication between whoever it is that you're working with within family is okay, and that boundaries are set and you respect them both, either side.
Brilliant. And there we go. Mic drop moment.
Yeah.
Georgia, absolute game changer. For people in family businesses, this could mean the difference between someone you know, for a parent that could go, right, I'm done, I've given up, you know, it's hard work, I'll see you later. For somebody who's got a child in the business, it could be the change of, yeah, let them get on with it and let's see what that can happen. Or do you really promote it so you can help that person and support them, challenge in the right way, have a great communication, you know, look in the mirror. How are you as a parent treating your kids in the business? Are you treating them like kids or are you treating them like employees? Because some people need to be in that employee. If they do reach the level of becoming a business owner or a shareholder, are you treating them like shareholders? And for the actual, you know, son or daughter, how are you treating the parent? Are you having respect for that parent, that this is their baby, that it's hard for them to actually let go and let their baby run their other baby, which is the business? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different dynamics that happen, Georgia. What you're saying here is that you've really got to, you know, make sure that time is in the diary to have those business conversations. And also, from my angle as well, to be a bit vulnerable here, is that my mom and dad got divorced when I was, because of the business. It put a lot of pressure on the relationship and they got divorced. I didn't really see my dad and I still don't. I'd see him quite a bit, but only at work.
Yeah.
So it's caused that I now see him as work colleague more than I do, you know, dad. And I have to consciously put it in the diary to take my girls to go and see my dad now. And my dad doesn't really see this all the time because, oh, I'll see you at work anyway, Lewis. But yeah, but that's work time, mate.
I can really relate to that. So for instance, going back to what my dad was, like my dad's story within EliteNet and Endwell, I know that my dad felt a certain way towards spending more time with his dad, which is obviously my granddad. And he still says it a few times now where it's a case of, I'd never really got to see him unless it was working on the tools.
Right.
And with me as well, dad and I have gone through loads of times where we've had screaming matches at home where it's a case of, I never see you, like I only see you within the office. Like, can we spend some daddy daughter time? Let's have some dates. Let's go to Nando's or something like that and do cinema times. And I think it goes back down to diary management. And I went through a phase of only seeing my dad through work. And it does really hurt. Yes. And I know that for them as well, sometimes they're like, well, the only time I see them is through work and all. We need to start like doing some more things outside of it. But that's why dad and I, as well as my mum and my sister, we always make sure that we do something as a family every weekend or every 2 weekends. Because we all are individually busy and it's how we all grow, isn't it? It's just making sure that we're still close. And one thing I am grateful for is we've gone through 2 businesses now. We've got a build up of a portfolio, a property portfolio, which my sister's also involved with as well as myself. And it's just, we do have those conversations, but outside of that, it's making sure that you have that time with each other because it's so precious. Time is precious and it's building those memories and moments that you can go back onto and go, oh, do you remember that? And it's special.
Exactly. And that's probably the biggest takeaway here as well, is that, you know, if you're just because you see your parents at work or you might see your son and daughter at work doesn't mean that's family time. You know, you've got to block that stuff out. And otherwise, it just becomes work. And who knows, at some point in the future, they're not always going to be around. And do you want those memories to have always been work or to do this? So, Georgia, you're absolutely nailing it there. And something I've done in the last couple of years is to say, hey, Dad, look, we're both into supercars. So we'll go out and we'll book in, and he's into his cars as well. And, you know, we'll go and test drive some new cars or something that's just come out. And it's a good day out because we're both into it. We both get really excited around it. And also with his granddaughters as well, we just go, look, we need to put this stuff in the diary. Otherwise, it's just going to get lost.
Yeah. So,
Yeah. Okay, Georgia, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. It's been really cool. I think we've made some difference here. We'll make sure we log this podcast as the go-to podcast for anybody that's all about you know, talking about family dynamics in the future. It'll be logged in history. So thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been lovely. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Okay, A Players, you've been listening to the A Players podcast. This is with me, with Georgia Gorey. Georgia, where can they follow you? If people want to be inspired more by your daily motivation and your learnings, how can people be around you more?
Well, I've got my personal accounts on Instagram and TikTok, which is Georgia Gorey. quite plain and simple.
You didn't want to go viral the other day, Georgia.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, I don't know if that was
all. Oh, no, you're going to bring this identity out now. You are a TikToker completely.
I don't know how. I still don't know how to work it. It's amazing. I love it. But also, obviously, just type on Google Action Coach Essex, and I'm part of the firm. And all the stuff that I kind of teach and preach to everyone, it's all part of the stuff that we do here.
Yeah.
If we can support in any way, come and give us a shout. Be happy to help anytime.
That's great. And if anybody does want to drop me a message or DM me or Georgia that fancies to come along to any of the events, we've got Book Club, we've got the Growth Club, you know, it's worth coming along down just to network with some great people and take lots of good learnings from the day and have a great plan at the end of it as well. And there's also different, call it the menu, don't you, Georgia? The menu.
Yeah, the program menu there.
Yeah.
So no, whether you're loads of events, it's great.
There's loads of events, so keep in touch. Follow Georgia. You'll see all this stuff that comes up as well. And it's just on the, what is it, the motorway, M25, isn't it? Just where you are, just off there.
Yeah, M25 in lovely Essex. In lovely Essex. As you can tell by my lovely accent.
Yeah, we've got two opposing accents here. One from, one Peaky Blinder accent and one...
Towie. I don't like to really use that, but yeah, the example.
Yeah. Good stuff, Georgia. Thanks for coming on. Speak to you soon. Be great, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.